Good morning, family. Good morning, good morning. Good morning. We're working on. Good morning. Hosanna in the highest. Okay, so if you see this image, what comes to mind? Or what thought does this image invoke in you? Let's think about it. The title of my message this morning is The Servant King. The Servant King. And the main text is taken from the book of Matthew chapter 21, reading from verse 1 through to 13. But my kind brother read from 1 to 9. Thank you, Brother Isaac. I appreciate that. So I'm not going to bore you with that. I'll go straight from 10 to 13. And I'm reading from ESV version. So if you have your Bible or your gadget, please open and journey with me. And when he entered Jerusalem, this is Jesus here, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." 12. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers, the seats of those who sold pigeons. In the last verse, he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." And so I would like to pray before I carry on with the message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I submit myself to the authority of your word. May we be blessed by your word today. Myself first and foremost, and Lord, your people. May your spirit take an absolute control over this time we have with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me take you through the backdrop of this account. That is Matthew chapter 21, 1 through to 13. The Passover was the greatest of annual festivals in Jerusalem. At this time, every year, the population in Jerusalem will swell as Jews from all over the world crowded into its her streets. Many Jews from Galilee also made the journey. They would cross the River Jordan, the Jordan south of the Sea of Galilee, to avoid going through Samaria. Now, why they would avoid going through Samaria is another message entirely, and we are not going to go there. And then re-enter Israel at Jericho for the final leg of their journey. So from Jericho, it was a short journey, but very uphill, and it's about 17 miles to Jerusalem. Bethphage, some people would pronounce it Bethphage or Bethphage. On the Mount of Olives was 2 miles east of Jerusalem, from which it was separated by the Kidron Valley. and first comes into view. The pilgrims would naturally get more and more excited the closer they came to Jerusalem. And the crowd would swell as they approached the city. Jesus knew very well, it is very important to note that Jesus knew very well that this journey that he embarked on would lead to his eventual gruesome death on the cross. But nothing was going to deter him from accomplishing his mission. He was not coerced. He was not tricked. Oh, no one talked him into it to embark on such a journey. Journey that obviously will lead to his death. Whilst I was preparing, I was just thinking aloud to myself. Knowing how much I love my family, my children, and I knew that me going to Asda would lead to my eventual death, even though I'm going to fetch the essentials for my family. Would I go? No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. And whilst I was preparing, the Lord was pouring certain things in my spirit, and I would like us to explore a few points here this morning. And as we read the passage, the first thing that came I noted was that Jesus sent two disciples to collect a donkey and its colt. He sent two. Sending two disciples is important not only for companionship, but also because each event, according to tradition set in the book of Deuteronomy, each event should be witnessed by at least two people. I believe this is where the best practice of dual control in the corporate world is taken from. If we have to count money, one person is not the best practice for one person to sit down and count it. It has to be dual control. And as I stated, Deuteronomy 19:15, it says, one witness is not enough to convict anyone accused of any crime or offense. They may have or may not have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of who? Two or three witnesses. Again, we see this in Jesus' ministry when he sent out the 70, sent them in pairs. Also, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, he says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Jesus is the servant king. And everything that he does, when he serves with excellence, quality. He demonstrates the spirit of excellence. He has declared himself to be a quality operator. He cannot go wrong with our lives. He cannot. go wrong with our lives. He sent two disciples to collect the donkey. But the question is, how did Jesus know that these two donkeys would be tied over there? Some commentators have commented that Jesus had made prior arrangement to use the animals. In which case, the words, "the Lord needs them," were a code word, in other words, password, to ensure that the animals will be released. Inasmuch as this is so reasonable, I think this explanation is unlikely. Because the disciples would have been Jesus' agents in setting up any arrangement and would have known about it. And so I take a bold step to say that the likely explanation is that Jesus had divine foresight and knew the animals would be there. He had already revealed his supernatural ability to see into the minds of people. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 4, a paralyzed man was presented to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ looked at him and he says, "Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven." And immediately, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." Jesus knew their thoughts immediately. He knew their thoughts immediately. And he said, "Why do you think evil in your heart? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'?" Guess what? Jesus Christ was the man who was able to identify a coin, a piece of coin, in the mouth of a fish in the vast ocean. If such a man was able to identify just a coin in the mouth of a fish in the massive ocean, then he knows all things. He's the Lord of all. He's the Lord of all. In John chapter 1, 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming after Philip had ministered to him, convinced him that, "Yeah, I found a man. Come and check him out." Nathanael said, "Can anything good come from?" You know it, don't you? So when Nathanael was coming, approaching, Jesus said of Nathanael, "An Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "Jesus, how do you know me?" Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered and said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." It is therefore not unreasonable that he would have had supernatural knowledge of the whereabouts of these animals. Similarly, pay attention to this as well. He had demonstrated that his word was able to elicit the response he desired, especially from when he was calling his disciples, say to this one, follow me. No question, they get up and follow him. Surely, the same is true in this case. We do not know whether the owner of this animal was Jesus' disciple or not. But whoever he was, and whatever relationship he had with Jesus, at the Lord's command, he allowed the disciples to borrow his donkey and its colt for the Lord's use. Irrespective of where we are in our lives, we are not hidden from his gaze. The servant king knows you and he knows me. He knows all of us where we are hurting, where we are bleeding. He knows. He's not oblivious. The servant king is also the Lord of all. He knows exactly where we are, what we are going through, things that are not in alignment with God's peace, purpose, and blessings for our lives. He will speak peace to every situation in our lives this Easter. I want to encourage you to lend me your faith. Whatever struggle you are going through this Easter, he would speak, and his word will elicit the required response in our lives. Let us trust him. Let us trust him. He will speak peace to every situation in our lives this Easter season. His words cannot be refuted. They will elicit the desired response. Matthew explains the triumphal entry by referring to the Old Testament. And this one is in Matthew chapter 21, verse 4, those that are following. Refer to the book of Isaiah chapter 62:11 and also Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Nationalistic hope for freedom or redemption from occupation ran high at the major festivals in Jerusalem. The arrival of a prophet from Galilee, already linked to a messianic claims, and deeds like feeding the 5,000 with bread and fish would naturally fuel expectation that independence was just around the corner. Jesus Christ was coming to liberate the Jews from the rule of the Romans. The crowd in Jerusalem would probably have preferred the Messiah to be riding on a war horse. Jesus, however, while still claiming to be the king of Israel, entered the city not on a white horse or at the head of an army column, but sitting on a donkey, a beast of burden. He was the meek one who came to serve and not to be served. Matthew 20:28. He entered Jerusalem, his own city, as a humble or gentle king on a donkey. And just as the Jews' expectations probably were shattered, in the Lord, sometimes our expectations can be dashed to pieces. But it does not change who the servant king is. When hopes, expectations, and dreams are not met the way we desired, his ultimate plan, mission, and purpose in our lives can never be aborted. For he is the mission accomplisher. He starts a work, a task, he finishes it. He's not like me. And so his mission to your life will be accomplished. That's the message for you. His mission to work on us will be accomplished. He will not abandon the mission halfway through. This is Jesus, the servant king. Don't tell this boy. Martha and I, we didn't plan for Benjamin. We didn't. He just came. Oh, gosh. My father's face at me. Right. But guess what? He's such a joy to our family. We didn't plan him. But the joy, we cannot imagine ourselves not having Benjamin in our lives. We cannot. Some cheekiness and some... We are blessed. And that's the message for you. Perhaps your expectations of how things were supposed to be done in your life didn't end up that way. It does not change the fact that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And in case you've forgotten, let me read this to you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plan I have for you. Yes, perhaps the marriage has broken down. Yet the Lord's purpose and his plan for your life will never be aborted. I'm a living proof. The business did not go the way you expected it to be. The studies, perhaps, didn't go the way you wanted it to be. The job opportunity, perhaps, did not fall in line with your expectations. Does that change God's ultimate plan and purpose for our lives? Categorically, no. No. What he has planned for us will come to fruition. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And my last point, when Jesus Christ in verse 12 and 13, when he entered Jerusalem, the first act that he did was to clean the temple. The first act upon entering the city was to tackle head on the authority of the Sadducees and the practices in the temple that compromised the purity of the worship of God. The reason for which the building existed in the first place. Oh, God, Amashia. The reason why you and I, we exist in the first place, Jesus Christ will clean and protect and put things in order. And we notice that in his ministry, the beginning of his ministry, he did the same. He went into the temple, drove them with whip. And the latter part of his ministry, we see Jesus doing exactly the same again. Servant King. As you can see, he has some cleaning stuff with him. Sometimes, I used to work for Morrison's. I managed cafe, and we had a policy called clean as you go. So a little spillage, you get a cloth, you wipe it. But if your colleague had left it for it to cake up a bit, you might want to use a bit of detergent and a soap. A sponge. And then rub it. Okay? But if the dirt have been established for a very, very long time, you might use wire wool to do what? Scrub it. Mind you, the servant king is a man of excellence. If he has to come and clean our temples, depending on how we have left the filth to go on for, would determine which apparatus he would use. Don't leave it too long. Run to Jesus. Don't leave it for too long, because he would complete the work. But guess what? It would have been better for you to have just wiped it than perhaps using this green. Don't let him get to this point. It will be very uncomfortable. He will complete it. He will complete the work. He will complete the work. And so I'm just going to conclude the message. Jesus comes to us as the servant king, humble and meek, but his service cannot falter. He knows our postcode. In fact, he knows our coordinates and our deepest needs. Therefore, his assigned aid cannot miss us during this Easter period. He will accomplish his cleaning project in us and present us to himself. And what a joy that will be. Therefore, We have every reason this morning to sing and shout, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Would we welcome him? I'd like to call the band over. Would we welcome him? May I humbly ask that we be on our feet for the closing prayer. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed. We thank you for your word this morning. We ask that your word will gain ascendancy in our hearts. Minister on a deeper level to us. May we leave this place, Lord, encouraged, affirmed, challenged by your word. And Father, I take this opportunity to release your healing, emotional healing, physical healing, spiritual healing, Father, upon your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Have your rightful place in each one of our lives. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.